There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. Phone number and the text line, it's easy because they're the same. 343-0106, 343-0106. You may want to put that in your contacts as well. 56 hours a week of live local shows come from the gold-gilded opulent studios of FM Talk 106.5 right here at Airport and 65. So you got shows 7 days a week. Live shows. You may want to chime in on the weekends, the evenings, whenever. Same number for the text or call, 343-0106. And with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can always leave us a talkback message. You'll see the microphone icon on the front page. If you press that, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and we can play it back here on the air. This hour to have these two men in, a very popular guest with y'all, but even more popular with me, to bring in to talk about a bunch of stuff today. And when the name came up yesterday in our discussion, I said, well, guess what? He's going to be a guest with us today. Back on the show, Admiral Kent Davis, good to see you, sir.
Great to be here again, Sean.
And Army Officer Troy Carrico, and historian and soothsayer, good to see you.
The Oracle of Delphi, but this man here, he preempts me in all things. He's a great man. We're honored to be here.
And he's an admiral, so we can all shut up.
Right? I have to be quiet.
That's correct. And I would say that getting y'all back here in the studio often coincides with the meeting of the South Alabama Veterans Council, which is a good thing. I was really enjoyed it last month. Went to the July meeting, and what a great, great thing. And it's a great thing here in South Alabama. I will go back to this conversation I've had maybe with you, Troy, but I know, Admiral Davis, I've had it with you, that this community down here, our veterans community down here, I assumed, and Mama warned me about assuming what it does, but I assumed veterans were as organized and robust in every other part of our state as they are here, because this is where I grew up. I thought, but that's not true.
No, South Alabama is the gold standard for support of veterans. SAVIC has been around since the late 90s. They do so much, not only planning Veterans Week events, but they're involved in every aspect of veterans affairs, not only in South Alabama. They're a powerful voice all over the state. So I really admire them.
So with that being said, for your perspective and the intelligence officer here, why? Why here? I don't think I asked y'all this last. So why here and not elsewhere in our state? I mean, we have, but how many, 400-something thousand veterans plus in our state? Why is it not robust elsewhere?
It's amazing because, you know, there's no huge military base here. Right. Of course, you have military assets.
Nearby, but not
Coast Guard,
right, yeah.
Nearby. I think there's so much history here stretching back over the centuries, literally, with the military. And it's just a very patriotic area. You have a lot of veterans that have settled here. The retirement population in Baldwin County, there's a lot of military veterans there. They're just wonderful. They are kind of the gold standard. We've tried to emulate that a little bit in Montgomery lately by establishing a regional organization up there called the River Region Veterans Coalition. And the SAVIC folks have been wonderful in guiding us, giving us examples and history. And we've got it going finally in Montgomery, but they had nothing like SAVIC, the capital city in Alabama.
This is what, I mean, it left me slack-jawed when we had first started. So, good. Montgomery next, and then from there on to be prophets elsewhere in the state. We need that organization, East Central, West Central, Northeast, you know, the rest of the state.
Well, what happened, if I may, at SB 67, which was the rallying, it was the impetus that got me involved in being an activist. And what we found out, and I talked to Phil Williams about this, and Phil opined the same thing. the basic, we have a lot of veterans here, but they're disjointed, they're parochial, they're broken into different groups, and this group doesn't really coalesce with the other group. So we started an idea called Alabama Veteran Nation, which is going to be a 501 profit. I'm still in the process of kickstarting it. I still believe it's a good idea because we have to coalesce the veteran community. This area is the gold standard. You go up to Muscle Shoals, go to Huntsville. They have posts, they have different groups, but there's nothing organized like this. And I attribute it to like what he said. You've got shipbuilding down here. You've always had a naval presence in this area, and the people are very patriotic down here. And he has championed, along with a couple other people, the River Region Veterans Council, and we're getting there. But
that's good. I hope
much work
hope so.
To do.
Well, I hope it grows around the state. And yeah, I mean, I'm a homer, and I think about, you know, there was one city in our state that was in the documentary on the war.
Yep.
It was Mobile. You know, I grew up in a town where we had schools and roads and named for Phillips and Sledge, and you know, so we had those stories. But I don't know. I would love to see it elsewhere. So it's good that y'all are working that. And I want to say this, too, big announcement for you, Admiral. You are going to be not only a once in a while, but a permanent fixture down here in our neck of the woods.
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time here, and my family's roots were in southwest Alabama, a little bit north of here in Washington County. But yesterday I was named as the new CEO of Vets Recover. And a little bit of history. Vets Recover was founded 10 years ago. They've done incredible things. I mean, it is not an exaggeration to say they've saved a lot of lives. They're one of the few tailored services addressing veterans' needs in the state of Alabama. And John Kilpatrick, who was the founder of that organization, decided it was time to step down from the CEO role. And a few weeks ago, the board of directors reached out to me and said, "Hey, we'd like to talk to you. Would you be interested in joining the team here?" And I said, "Let me come down." And I spent about an hour with them in a board of directors meeting. And at the end, they said, "If you want it, the job is yours." And I jumped at it. Absolutely thrilled. I can't think of a better honor.
Well, what a great, what do the kids call it? A collab these days to have you involved with Vets Recover. And I know, you know, John and I had talked off the record, too, that he's still obviously going to be involved in Vets Recover, you know, still a mainstay of Vets Recover.
Yeah, John has put in a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into that operation. He wants to take a little bit of a break, well-deserved. And plus, that organization is going in a little bit different direction. They just got Joint Commission certification, which is a big deal. It allows them to take official referrals from the federal VA, from Blue Cross Blue Shield, TRICARE, and things like that. There are some wonderful opportunities not only in Alabama, but around the Southeast and the nation for partnerships now. They wanted someone who maybe had the contacts and could establish some of those additional partnerships. So I'm just absolutely thrilled and humbled.
It's great to have a model here. You're not pitching what we might do with Vets Recover.
I agree.
You're coming in and saying, this is what it's doing.
It is a proven model. I'm telling you, for years, they have been saving lives and turning lives around. I was just out there and talking to some of the veterans that are out there, and the stories I hear about the lives that they have saved and turned around are just incredible. It is really heartwarming to see a successful organization that does it for the right reasons, altruistic reasons. They're not looking to make millions and millions of dollars. It's a nonprofit organization that just does great things for those who have served their country.
And if I could add, in the face of adversity, I mean, seriously, the state has really not embraced them the way that they should. Mm-hmm. He has a proven established model, and they still trying to create new organizations to usher into it. So what he's done in the face of adversity is absolutely remarkable. It blows my mind. When I went there last time with him, Robin was with us, and I was flabbergasted. It was incredible.
Yeah, one of the things I didn't understand, I've asked John this question several times, as I said, if you looked at it cynically, and I'm a politician, you know, I would have wrapped my arms around you, patted you on the back, and ridden your coattails to great applause from the audience. I'd have been like, I'm the guy. These are my guys. You know what I'm saying? Even if you didn't truly believe it, which, you know, it's obviously proven yourself, but it's successful, I'd want to hitch my cart to that horse, you know?
Yeah, Sean, let me say something positive. There have been some elected officials who have been incredibly supportive, not only of Vets Recover, but real substantive veterans' efforts. In fact, Jerry Carl came to the SAVIC meeting this morning. I think Jerry Carl's a good man. He seems genuinely interested in
Sons of Marine.
Veterans. The mere fact that he showed up at a SAVIC meeting, he was always supportive of me and veterans' efforts. He's always helped out Vets Recover. That's just one example. A lot of the state elected officials over in Baldwin County and in Mobile have been very good. Again, it goes back to that fact that for some reason, this region gets it when it comes to veterans. I wish the rest of the state could emulate what's going on here in Mobile and Baldwin County.
You know, I would think maybe it is even easier going forward because of the success of Vet Recover in that model, in the SAVIC model. You go to other areas and go, hey, elected official so-and-so, whatever you are, this thing's working. They now have something they can bring in. It's going to be successful, and they can pat themselves on the back.
I was referring to the Ivy administration.
I've said this a bunch of times. Even if they didn't have the heart for veterans that they should, just the political expediency of something that is successful, when we deal with the number of veterans' death daily, and we talk about the 22 to 23 number, which I've been told by folks is actually not accurate. It's higher than that.
It's much higher than that. And, Sean, let me really put it into perspective. Here's a stat that I throw out. Since 9/11, we've had about 7,000 combat deaths. That's a lot. But when you compare it to Korea and Vietnam, it's not a lot. You want to guess how many veterans have taken their own lives since 9/11? And this is a conservative number.
What's it?
At least 150,000 veterans. You compare those figures. We often talk about the combat deaths, but we don't talk about what happens when those warriors come home to the U.S. and the travails that they face. You think about that, 150,000 lives lost to veteran suicide. That is a national tragedy that we don't talk about.
If we had an enemy out there that had taken 150,000,
we would have destroyed it by now.
The nation would be mobilized.
Think about it that way. I mean, if we said 150,000 of our warriors had died because of whatever, whatever.
And like you mentioned, that's a conservative estimate. It's likely much higher than that.
Yeah. So, you know, and I've often said the way I feel about it as a civilian, somebody didn't serve, we make a deal with y'all. Contract. Y'all sign, we made a deal. It's a contract, right? Y'all can go do some stuff that's dangerous, and for that, we're giving you these following things. And it's not just the fact that, you know, I can still ride on USAA insurance. You know, there's a lot there. Right. We just need to live up to the contract. I mean, it's contract law at some point.
And veterans don't ask for a lot. In fact, most veterans that I know, they're a little sheepish when you come up and say, thank you for your service. They're like, I hear the line. Thank you for saying that, but it's a little embarrassing.
Yeah,
I feel like, you know, I did this because I love my country. But I think they do expect, hey, if I suffer some consequences of my service, I'd like to be taken care of.
And that is what we present to y'all as the contract.
Live
up to the contract.
And, you know, he makes a good point. The Admiral was spot on when he says, you know, the problem with the veterans is that they don't ask for help a lot of times.
Yeah.
And I can do this on my own. I got this. I got it. But they really don't. And that's why he has been so effective, in my opinion, as he is a champion for veterans. He genuinely cares about the mental health piece of the veterans. Mm-hmm. Because let me tell you, let's talk about the other thing that we're not talking about, broken families. Do you know how many? I saw a report yesterday from the Army that 78% of commissioned officers were divorced within 5 years.
Wow.
That's 3 out of 4 plus. And that's officers. So you can imagine what the enlisted are like.
Well, God. I've been married for 36 years. One time, me and my wife, she's a Navy veteran, too.
Yeah. Well, there's always got to be exceptions to the rule. So and those kind of things and those outreach programs. But, you know, you said something, both of y'all, and I think about with Admiral Davis at Vets Recover now, something John and I have talked about forever is veteran, and I watch it because so many of my friends served. I'll watch them talking, and I just sit back and drink my Coors Light and listen because I know I'm not talking the language at that point. In getting help, or y'all speak a language, and you have a certain amount of trust, and to have people in the pipeline that are veterans that are speaking to other veterans.
Yeah, absolutely. Veterans will talk to another veteran before they'll talk to their spouse, to their clergy, definitely even a white-coated clinician. There's just that rapport and understanding that brother or sister, you've been down the same path I have. You can understand me. That's difficult for non-veterans to understand, and it's not meant in an arrogant, exclusive way. It's just there's that bond in military service that's hard for people who have not served to understand.
Yeah, well, listen, if you watch it, y'all, if you'll go somewhere, come to the shrimp bowl at my house, you'll watch them all talk, and you'll be like, okay, they're talking their own thing right now. Wait a second.
Yep. It's called bona fides. He has bona fides. I have bona fides. Mm-hmm. We both have walked that path, and I think that's what's problematic a lot of times for veterans. But with organizations like Vets Recover, you know, again, this area is the gold standard, and you can do great things down here, and it should be that way throughout the state. But sadly, it stops around the Montgomery Capital area with the politicians in the state.
I'm a positive thinker, and that's getting ready to change. Coming right back, more of our discussion, a lot of text from y'all for our guests. We'll get to those when we come back on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 126, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Good to have Troy Carrico, Army veteran, and Admiral Kent Davis. Veteran what?
He's Army and Navy.
Yeah, he is actually. We don't have time, but I'm going to get into that someday. Why so many I know, they were like, well, they were Marine, then they went to the Army, but we'll get this. I got this text I want with having y'all here. This is a text from Major Davis. It said, I'm retired and just putting in for my National Guard retirement. How come those deployed from 2008 until present get years off or apply earlier for their retirement? I was deployed with 7-Eleven from 03 to 05 in Iraq. I do not get any early retirement pay. Is that something y'all know about?
I do know about that. So Congress passed
a law. Get you close to that mic.
Yeah. Congress passed a law that basically said if you served in global war on terrorism and you were deployed to a combat zone, basically what they would do is on reserve retirements, guard retirements, they would back off that age of 60 commensurate with your time in combat zones as a reward for serving in a combat zone. But it didn't start until after a certain date. That was strictly a political decision that Congress made.
Very good. There you go, Major Davis. And I know I appreciate your service. And looking at your previous text, thanks for sending me pictures of bears, too. I thought that was cool. Let's see. This one from Michael. He says, the politicians from Goat Hill are only going to hitch their wagon to whoever has the best lobbyists. Alta Point has high-dollar lobbyists protecting their mental health care monopoly, and the vets don't.
True. I will tell you, a lot of people have discovered the power of lobbyists, and I've discovered it too.
That horrible thing to y'all years ago, right? I said, you shouldn't have to have a lobby.
Agreed.
But just because you shouldn't have doesn't mean you don't need it.
Yeah,
you know?
There really are no dedicated lobbyists for veterans. There's a lot for the defense industry, understandably, but it's tough in Montgomery. You go to the State House, and it's like running an obstacle course through all of the lobbyists. I know many of them. Some of them are wonderful people, but they have a lot of power in this state.
I say this to be shocking a little bit on the air, but I have no problem with the lobbyists because I know what they're there for. If the politicians didn't play ball with the lobbyists, the lobbyists, you know why they're there. Right. So the politicians, you don't really know what the motivation is. The lobbyist comes in and says, I want this for so and so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's obvious. It's the politician that plays ball.
Well, the lobbyists are there because of there's a pre-existing condition that causes it. No campaign finance restrictions and no term limits. So what you have is a professional politician in place that has a business model and that they cater to that business model. They're a service provider for them is what they are.
Yeah, I mean, because there's a need there. But once again, I know I try to be shocking a little bit, but I don't have a problem with the lobbyists because I know their motivation. And if the politician didn't do their bidding, the lobbyists would be ineffective.
The one time I do have a problem is when you go to a politician and ask him, well, what was your reasoning behind this bill? And they say, well, you need to go talk to Joe Smith and some lobbying organization. They're the ones that approached me and wrote this bill. And it's clear they don't know much about the bill that they're sponsoring and pushing through.
That's not serving their constituents. Coming right back, more of your text and more questions here for Troy Carrico and Admiral Kent Davis, who is now head of Vets Recover.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday. The segment of the show brought to you by another veteran as well, my buddy Jeff Stone at Stone Arms. And we had this conversation yesterday. Jeff's going to get so teed off at me. But so 2A folks, settle down. Okay, settle down. Because every time I talk about getting your silencer, it's because of the branding of the kiosk that is very cool at Stone Arms. This is the thing I told you for years. I had the manila file folder on my desk. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get around to get my tax stamp. And I just didn't, because you had to go over here to get your fingerprints, over here to get your passport type photo. You had to file this stuff, and I just didn't get it done. And Jeff said, hey, come out to the shop. I got a kiosk in here. He said, you're going to get done in 30 to 45 minutes. I don't want to show off. It took me 20 to get my information put in. And 2 weeks later, got the green light from the feds, got my tax stamp, and got my, as he says, branding-wise, silencer. Yes, we know it's a suppressor. Okay, so settle down. It is a process that is so very easy. And yes, conveniently, does my man Jeff have a great selection of suppressors in the store? Yes, he does. And you can find the one you want. Before you even put the application in, it comes in, you get it. And I started thinking about this other day, not just for maybe shooting our modern sporting rifles, but honest to goodness, with deer season coming up, the damage I've done to my ears over the years, shooting my deer rifle inside a box stand or something like that without hearing, you know, you go to the range, you take your hearing protection, right? You dial in that gun and take hearing protection. The 8-point starts trotting out behind the doe. You don't stop to get hearing, you shoot, right? And well, that's the reason you should hear the volume on my headphones in here. So shooting suppressed also helps you there in the deer woods as well, protect your hearing. Do it. You've been wanting to do it for a long time. Get it done now when you go to Stone Arms. He is just west of Snow Road on Airport on the south side, about a quarter mile west of Snow on Airport. He's online at stonearmsinc.com. But, y'all, it's 30 minutes of your time to go into the kiosk, put the information in, get that sent off, and get that green light for that silencer you've been wanting for a long, long time. Check them out online, stonearmsinc.com. All right, continue our conversation with Troy Carrico, Army veteran, and Admiral Kent Davis, who is now on his list. Do you have a backside to your business card for your accolades? Now, he's like, you've turned that thing over. Now running Vets for Cover right here in Mobile, which we're excited about. Very much so.
Oh, absolutely thrilled.
Yeah. A couple things. We can get some texts, and I got some questions here. Somebody's taking to task people in other parts of our state that didn't organize, like Savick said, what are they talking about? They got Maxwell Air Force Base and Gunner right in Montgomery. Large base, large population. There's no excuse. Even Fort Rucker's not too far away. So there's a vet with y'all shaming other vets for not organizing.
It's probably someone we know, too. Yeah, probably. I guess it might be Brian Battaglia.
Yeah, see, I have his number. I can cross-reference that at the break and let you know. Travis says, not taken away from the horrifying numbers of deaths related to suicide, but is this number further broken down by vets who saw combat versus vets who did not?
There are some statistics. PTSD is definitely higher in veterans that served in combat. And the statistics repeatedly show that. I mean, that's pretty much common sense. When you talk about moral injury, exposure to traumatic incidents, obviously. And, you know, I got to say, it's not just veterans. You see it in first responders a lot. And that's why Vets Recover has focused on veterans and first responders. Very similar. When you're exposed to traumatic events and moral injury sometimes, that manifests itself in PTSD, depression, sometimes years later.
Yeah, these are even in first responders that weren't vets in the first place. These are people who didn't serve. And you think about what those police officers have seen and sheriffs have seen in a career.
Yeah.
The things they've seen on a daily basis.
I was a city manager in Anniston, Alabama, which was a high crime city. And I went on some ride alongs. And I tell you what, I have a newfound appreciation for what first responders experience. And to be exposed to that over and over and over again, not just the dramatic traumatic experiences, but just the emotions you have to deal with and the fear and the you know, getting pumped up for your job and your head on a swivel constantly. It's almost like
every time you pull a vehicle over.
That's exactly right. It's very similar atmosphere as going down the highway of death in Iraq or Afghanistan.
But at least, you know, in those scenarios, you do have your brothers in arms with you.
Yeah.
Police officer.
Often solo.
By herself walking up to that vehicle.
I have so much respect for firefighters and police officers, what they experience.
And so y'all do, I know that in the past it was a thing that they first responders come to Vets for Cover as well.
They do, absolutely. Okay. And the county and city of Mobile have been wonderful in partnering with Vets Recover in that regard.
I'd like to back up to the comment on that. So there's an individual that I'm affiliated with, and I've told Admiral Davis about him, and we're going to get him up here at Maxwell. His name's Brigadier General Jim Harville. He is a retired Air Force chaplain, worked at the Pentagon, was the highest chaplain in the Air Force, chief chaplain. He's now a professor of theology they've started a chaplaincy program for the military at Charleston Southern University in Charleston, South Carolina. He and Brian Battaglia, whom we just referred to, when he was with the JCS, they did a study, Harvard and Yale and Northwestern. So credible research institutions did a study on veteran suicide, specifically over a 12-year period. The number one factor that was common between I think 80%, he said, of suicides, and you may know this, sir, was no religious preference on their dog tag. No affiliation.
Oh, you're right, Troy. Spirituality can be a powerful healer. And it's an important component in a lot of therapies for veterans.
You look at it and it gives you, I've always heard the thing as a civilian heard, there's no atheist in the foxhole kind of thing. Yeah.
Or on their deathbed.
Yeah, or on their deathbed, for sure. We'll get back to the text line in a second. I know y'all got a lot of text to answer. I got a lot of text to ask questions from the listeners, but I want to talk about this, this is preceding what happened to you, Admiral Davis, a story that Troy turned me on to, and there'll be more of this coming up, about Colonel DeMaio and what has happened here in the past. This is 2022? Mm. Explain
August 2022 is when he was removed.
Troy, let me tell you. So my involvement with Cinco.
By the way, that's this guy's, the funniest call sign ever. His last name's DeMaio. His call sign, Cinco. It's pretty darn good.
He assumed command on May 5th, 2021. I'm not joking.
A great guy.
What a great call.
A small world. He and I worked together at Maxwell Air Force Base. I was on the staff of Air University, worked for a gentleman named General Steve Quast. And Cinco was the deputy commander of the LeMay Center, which is the Air Force Doctrine Center based at Maxwell. Maxwell's an important military base. Forward-thinking, out-of-the-box thinker, thinking about the changing dynamics of geopolitics and future conflicts. Cinco was one of those guys that said, look, we've got to get beyond the global war on terrorism and think about multi-domain warfare again and great power competition. Not satisfied with the status quo. Absolutely. He was one of those guys that had the ability to look around corners. Just a wonderful, brilliant guy, Air Force Academy graduate, thousands of hours in the F-16 in combat, just an American warrior.
And he gets let go. Why?
That's a strange story.
He is what the Air Force calls an 18-pound brain. And it's jargon inside from STRATCOM. They call him that. And he is a paradigm shifter. He is a change agent. He is a thought leader. He is the pointy tip of the spear for the Air Force's intellectual community. And here's a scary thought. So Cinco, his whole bona fide system is based on what the Admiral said, multi-spectral, full domain warfare, which is space, autonomy, AI, cyber, but more importantly, near peer adversaries, such as Russia and China. Now, Russia's been degraded a great deal, but also, there's non-near peer adversaries like North Korea, like India. Today's warfare has changed the dynamics of how we prepare, how we fight. So let me walk the dog with you. He got removed and the story I'm launching is we're shopping it with multiple national outlets, and we have some interest from a couple places. I want to co-brand it with 1819 because this thing needs to be told at the national level, because what's at stake is a threat to our current national defense posture, and I mean that. That's what's true. Happened there is
very true.
And I'm going to walk the dog real fast for you. Cinco gets hired in May of 2021. He was recommended by Richard Shelby. He was recommended by Steve Quast. He was brought in as an outsider to the political mosh pit, if you will, of Montgomery and the Adjutant General's office under Major General Cheryl Gordon and under Governor Ivey, which commands the Air National Guard and Alabama, the Army Air National Guard. Guard.
Right.
And the Army National Guard.
Okay.
Now, you got to understand, in the Air Force, the Air National Guard, 40% of their combat power is National Guard and Reserve.
Ah.
40, four out of 10. It's a big deal. Army, their ground fighters, is 50%.
Yeah.
So, I mean, seriously, it's... The system is broke. It's archaic. The federalized system where states have command of troops and equipment should be looked at. It should be done away with. I'm going to tell you why. There are, on right now at Danley Field, there are 12 Block 4 Tech Refresh 3 F-35s. There's only 12 of them in the world. They are made with a special power data feed that can talk to space, talk to loyal wingmen, all these different autonomous. It is the quarterback of the U.S. Air Force. All 12 reside in Montgomery under a reserve unit.
Fighters.
Yeah,
all of them. The latest and greatest.
And here's the worst part. And I said this on Joey's show, and I could be arrested probably, but he's just suggesting this, but... I know, I drive by it all the time. I know the area. I've looked at the map. I know where they're at. There's very little security.
Wait.
There's no hardened structures for them. I could penetrate
the
it with Molotov
cocktails.
The civilian
brain right here, when you said that, went, you don't put all your eggs in one basket
well, they're
in one
there.
Place.
They're there, and here's the worst part.
Right.
Ever since Cinco's been gone, they've had three different commands, and some have been removed for cause, meaning could be fraud, money. They are derelict. The morale, and I've talked to many of the Red Tails to do this. I interviewed several of them, a dozen of them, to get the feel for what the atmospherics were. The unit is aimless. It is rudderless. It's a ship without a rudder. Has no captain. It currently has a KC-135 tanker pilot in the billet of the commander. So if the balloon went up tomorrow, the Red Tails would not be combat effective. They could not deploy.
It has 100% of these F-35s.
And it's because of... It's because of Ivey and Gordon's.
So tell me in language I can understand what Ivey did to remove.
So, okay, COVID starts coming around about the time he gets in.
Mm-hmm.
They push down. You remember her, you got to get the jab, you got to go. You remember her militant stand. It's these people that didn't get vaccinated that are the problem, right? And they pushed out a daily call saying, we want everybody vaccinated. Get everybody. There was no written policy. There was no written regulation. The Air Force had not even come out with one yet. And he, being a great commander, said, I'm not going to do it, and I'm going to tell you why. If you make me enforce this, I'll have to UCMJ most of my soldiers, meaning Uniform Code of Military Justice, Article 15, maybe even worse, I don't know. And the thing is, that's a blemish on the record. They're not going to get promoted. They're going to get out. He knew the damage that was being done. He said, now, if you come up with a coherent policy and Air Force agrees, then I'll enforce it. But till then, stop bothering me with it.
Mm-hmm.
That was strike one. Strike two, which you would think that you would get accolades for this, but they did a joint exercise with 22 different guard and active duty units called Southern Lightning, and it was ACE is the concept. ACE is the Agile Combat Environment, and it's where they deploy planes off of roads. It's in an alternate asymmetric fighting environment where
they take out
we
the
could
airfields.
Be compromised.
How do you take
because,
it off? Yeah,
yeah, and
yeah.
So they absolutely nailed it there. Did great. He came back all fired up, talking about space, and he's like, we got to lean forward. We don't have enough of this. We have no structures. He went and secured some funds from Tommy Tuberville to get some things built. And I'm telling you, go to the beginning. Shelby and Quast pushed this on them. He was not one of their reindeers, so he wasn't playing their reindeer games. And he was an outsider. He was marked for.
I think there was some professional jealousy. He's the kind of guy that's not satisfied with the status quo. And
he's
frankly,
charger.
There are a lot of people who want to keep the status quo.
Right. So Ivy decides. Who makes
so,
the
so
decision?
What happens, yeah. So what happens is that so after Agile Combat Environment, he was called into the office of the TAG. Now, let's talk about the TAG for a minute, Cheryl Gordon. I show respect to him because he's earned respect. When there's a major general that doesn't have, and he'll know what I'm talking about, on the right shoulder of your uniform, if you don't have a patch, it means you've never combat deployed. That means you're a pogue, all right? It means you're a fobbit, as we say, instead of a hobbit over in fobs. They stay inside the wire. Okay. That's even not true because she didn't even go downrange. She's got one, two reserve overseas training ribbons, which is basically a two-week paid vacation for AT in Italy and I think England's where she went to. So she doesn't have any business managing a warrior like Cinco. He is a alpha type warrior, a rare breed, and he does great things. And the unit absolutely loved him. And they would go through hell in a gasoline suit for him, as one of them said. And so then what happens is he really kept pushing the issues, and he was up at his mom and dad's in New Jersey on leave. His dad and mom are 84 years old. He's up there. He gets a call and says, you need to come back right away. We want to talk to you. And he was called on the carpet, and he was removed for a cause.
The cause being?
He was a JAG. That's just a catch-all for we don't like you. It's just a personal. It was personal. And so I talked to several different officers that were affiliated with that unit, and they said he was marked because he didn't see it, but everyone knew that they were getting ruffled because he was – wouldn't you want to celebrate – a warrior like that? Look at our guard. Like, as you said, don't you want to put your attach your wagon to that horse and run and be a great warrior? So they take him out. And the thing is this. Why is this important, Sean? I'll tell you why it's important. And he knows why. And I mean this. World War II, our darkest hour, North Africa, Pearl Harbor. We find that we have these top-heavy generals that they ain't worth a crap.
Yeah.
Or a crap. We had to go through dozens of them. Dozens to get to Omar Bradley, to get to Claire Chennault. Claire Chennault left and went outside of the service. But and people like, you know, Patton, people like Hap Arnold, Billy Mitchell. These guys go on and on and on.
But Union Army in the Civil War.
General Grant, General Ulysses S. Grant is the greatest example of that. And the thing is this.
Get rid of Meads, get rid of those guys.
And little Mac, but boy, the troops loved him, right? And the thing is this. Then you had months to react to an attack. Mm-hmm. Okay, they attack Pearl Harbor. Let's get our stuff together. We got time. Today, you have milliseconds with AI, with hypersonic weapons. So here's one for you. This is why Cinco, I think, is brilliant. And you know this, too, probably working at the Air Center. That's the intellectual center of the Air Force, okay?
It sure is.
So John Warden, a good friend of Robbins, and someone who's going to be on my – I'm getting ready to launch a new podcast. We can talk about that at the end. He basically wrote our Air Force's air doctrine for the war in the Gulf. We have not changed that doctrine since. We still operate under the assumption that we have sanctuary operations that are removed from possible attack by enemy. I got news for you. Even North Korea and Iran could send a hypersonic missile. Guam is in a cauldron right now for the Navy and for the Marine Corps. Diego Garcia, same thing for the Navy and for the Air Force. But
Troy, let me say something personally about Cinco de Mayo. Wonderful man. He was treated like a criminal. He was not only removed but barred from any National Guard facilities.
Sound familiar, Evan?
Yeah, I speak from a little experience on humiliation, but when I look at his situation, I think here's a guy who served his country honorably in combat, flawlessly, was handpicked by the Air Force to take on that new mission, and he was treated that way. There's just a basic unfairness in that.
And there's something else that I didn't even touch in this article because it's going through court right now. He was a Title 32, which is a very rare position. It means he's Mr. DeMayo in one setting, and he's billeted in a colonel position in the other. So he's a dual hat civilian military technician. There's very few of them in each of the state guards. So he was removed as a colonel, but they never really took him out. And they should have removed him as a civilian. And so he went to something called the MSPB, the Meritorious Systems Protections Board, which is your final recourse if you are a government GS employee. And the judge has ruled, the state has ignored every order, and the judge has ruled that he should be reinstated with pay. And to this day, the state just flipping the bird.
All right, coming right back, and we'll talk more about this podcast when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 157 FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile, wrap it up for today. But this story will continue to be told going forward. Looking for it in print, and then we'll bring it to the electronic airwaves as well, right?
Yes, sir. Yes. It should be out within a week to 10 days, for sure.
The shelf life, you said 10 days, we're going to have something.
You will have something within 10 days, yes. I'm relatively positive of that, yeah.
So I mean, it shows a pattern to me, just looking at it from the outside, a pattern that hit you, Admiral.
Yeah.
There's a pattern of practice of behavior there.
In fact, there's a line in there that says they took a play out of the playbook on Admiral Davis and applied it to Cinco. So
there you go. I want to ask you this. You mentioned the podcast. Mm-hmm. I hate promoting other people's stuff on my show, Troy, but I like you enough.
Well, I will co-brand with you, man. You're my Machiavellian brother. You know that. From a different mother, but the same father.
You got to have a token civilian on there.
No, it's not. Listen, one thing I know about you, you're a huge supporter of the military, and that's really why.
I fancy y'all a little bit.
I know that. No. But it's going to be called B3. It'll be Bellicoso. Bourbon and battle. Okay. We're going to pair a fine cigar with a fine bourbon or a fine scotch, 5 to 10 minutes, and then we're going to go into geopolitics. And it's sponsored by Pat Ryan and Sanctuary Cigars of Montgomery. And I will be doing it weekly, and I will make sure that you get advanced copies and you can help out with it if you'd like.
But that's all I needed. Admiral Davis, welcome to town.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing a lot more folks here in Mobile.
Yeah, we're happy you're here. We'll do this again coming up very soon. I always enjoy having these men on. Paul Feinbaum Show, all the way next.